Luke chapter 12. You get a lot of good things here at the seminary, a lot of good teachings, a lot of good exegesis, and this morning I wouldn't even pretend to try to match that, but I just want to be here and say a few words of encouragement to those of you who are in classes and seeking God's will in your life and preparing yourself for the days ahead. And I know some of you have probably already been in ministry for some time. When I came to school here, I'd already been in ministry for 10 years and trying to do it without much preparation, without much training. And so I know some of you guys have experience, and I don't mean to speak to you as if you didn't by any means. But I certainly don't have the answers. I still struggle every day trying to figure out, you know, Lord, who am I and what am I doing here? You know, but we know that the Lord is God. We know who He is, so that makes all the difference in the world. In Luke chapter 12, if you will start, look to, with me to verse 27. Jesus said, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, or have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the preservation of your word and for delivering it to us that we might have it readily available and we can open it, and through it we can hear you speak and know your will for our lives, and we can be encouraged and by the things that you tell us. And God, we just thank you so much for this privilege today to stand with other men and women of faith who hold so dear to heart your call upon their lives. And God, we just pray that you might use this so that each one of us will benefit from this time in the Word. Do the things that you design, the things that only you can do among us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to actually steal a phrase from verse 32. Well, I even need to modify that a little bit. And I want to talk about God's good pleasure. And we know that God wants many good things for His people. God, in fact, God wants all good things for His people. And in fact, beyond that, God has designed that His people shall receive all good things in the right time, by His program, in His pattern, in His timing. It will all come. But we see, as we look here at verses 27-28, we see that it's God's good pleasure to provide all that we need. He talked about silly little things like the grass that grows in the field and the flowers that out there bloom, maybe just for a day and then they're gone. And talked about how that God has every little detail, every little perspective, He knows every bit of nutrition that these things need, and He takes care and provides for all of that. And so how much more important then is the people of God? And how much greater love has God shown for us that He would send His own Son to die for us? So certainly, certainly He would take care of our daily needs and provide us with those kind of things that He knows that we should have. I love Romans 8:32. Do you know that verse? Of course, Romans 8 has got to be my most favorite chapter in the book anyway. So pick a favorite. But verse 32 says, "He who did not spare His own Son." By the way, you remember that this follows that great promise that we know that all things work together for good for them who love God according to His purpose. And He talks about that grand eternal design by which He brings all this to pass. And then just after that, He said, "If He did not spare His own Son, but He delivered Him up for all of us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" If we trust Him for the greatest sacrifice that He could ever possibly make, why is it such a hard thing for us to trust God for the small things in life? It's God's good pleasure to provide everything that we need. But He said, "Oh, you of little faith." O faithless ones, will He withhold from us daily needs when He has paid already so much? God wants to bless us and use us. And it doesn't always mean that we're going to be the richest guy on the block. And it doesn't always mean that we're going to be the healthiest person in the crowd. But what it means is God is going to give us what we need to complete the design that He's placed upon our lives. He'll never call us to something for which He doesn't equip us. And I am convinced that God does all that not by miracle touch, if you want to say that, but He does it through institutions like the seminary. He does it through people who mentor us that He puts into our lives. He puts it through circumstances, experiences that we have in which He uses to teach us, trials that we go through, that He can express to us, bring us to the place that He wants us to be, expressing to us His great love and His concern and proving to us His care for us and how He shall care for us. The next couple of verses make us understand that it is God's good pleasure that we should be anxious for nothing, that we should not worry over our future needs. I mean, we're usually consumed with our present needs, but He says particularly, don't become anxious over the things that have not even yet occurred, that you might just fear might occur. And Jesus said in the passage in Matthew on this, He said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. To give you the idea that maybe Jesus is saying that, well, yes, it's good stewardship to plan for certain things for tomorrow, but never to worry over tomorrow, never to be anxious over tomorrow. I'm reminded of the time when Jesus told the disciples, He said, the day will come when you will be called before the councils and you'll be called up to give an answer. You'll be charged with crimes, basically, is what He was saying, just for preaching the gospel. And He said, I tell you, don't prepare ahead of time how you're going to answer that when it comes. Just trust the Lord for those times. Don't be anxious over that. Don't waste time just assuming that it's going to happen. It will, but it may not happen every time you think it is. So don't waste your time worrying about that. Just trust God when that time comes. Now, certainly we are to prepare a life. We're always to be good stewards over whatever we do have. And in Proverbs, God praises the ant for working all summer and preparing for the winter, you know, and He criticizes the sluggard who will not work in preparation for what's coming up. So obviously, we understand the balance there. But worrying over tomorrow, it has a terrible effect on pastors and folks in other types of ministry, as it does all people, but I think especially on people in ministry. And for those of you who are already pastoring or ministering in some respects, you know that it's an easy thing to do to sit in your office or in your home and think, oh man, what's old brother so-and-so going to say about this? And what's he going to do about that? And how's he going to react? And how's he going to respond? And how am I going to deal with that when the time comes? And oh me, oh my, what am I going to do? And we worry and we're anxious over those kinds of things. And it's God's good pleasure for us that we not be anxious like that. That we not be worrisome over those things. Back 25 years ago when I attended classes here, I had several real life hurdles that were difficult for me. And I'll not go into the details of all they were. And I'm sure some of you have many of those same kind of hurdles that you have to face in trying to get and complete your seminary training. But I confess to you that I let those things worry me into defeat. And I didn't finish up here like I wanted to. And I want to encourage you today. If you're in a place where that's an issue in your life and you're thinking, how am I going to get it next semester? How am I going to handle it? How am I going to manage it? How am I going to balance all these things? I just want to find a way. Find a way. Because if you're standing where I am and looking back 25 years and saying, I wish I had completed that. I wish I had finished there. I wish I had gone on as I wanted to. And as at that time, I believed God wanted me to. But I let the hurdle stop me. You're going to regret that. You're going to regret that. You'll never regret being fully prepared. If you look back and you've finished, you've completed, and you've done everything God wanted you to do, and you've done what you could, to prepare yourself for ministry. You'll never look back and regret that, I trust. The same godly tenacity and the same holy focus that will help you find a way to finish your preparation will serve you well in the ministry that's to come also. I know I may be preaching to the choir, some of you guys. But you know, really, pastors, sometimes we preach this to our people over and over and over again. We have never learned how to practice it yet. Because we're still the ones being anxious over tomorrow, worrying about what's going to happen or how are we going to manage in the pastorate. And we tell our people, don't do this, don't do this. Jesus said, don't do it. You know, let's be spiritual. If you're spiritual people, you wouldn't be doing that. And we're not doing it ourselves. Fear and anxiety over money is one of the pastor's leading enemies. And I would expect from my memory that the same is true for seminary students. As pastors, we're often expected, I don't think anybody ever says this, but it's under the surface. You know, we're expected to present ourselves as if we were as affluent as doctors and lawyers and things like that, and often do so on a day laborer's salary. And I'm not here to criticize how churches or recommend how churches care for their pastors financially. I just want to say that whatever situation we find ourselves in, a genuine trust, a genuine faith in God should alleviate the anxiety. If we're really trusting God in faith. I mean, that's basic to Christianity. How do they do anything else? But trust God. Trust God. I like to tell people all the time when we talk, because having faith is, for some people, it's kind of a mysterious word. And if you tell somebody to believe, it's like mental assent is all they can imagine. And my favorite word in that is trust. And we know what trust is. When we trust someone, we have confidence in them. There's a connection there. And I'm telling you, that's where we need to be with Christ. Not just a mental belief, not just a ethereal, spiritual idea of faith, but there has to be a real, genuine trust. And it's not just for people when they come to know the Lord as their Savior. It's for those of us who've been saved a long time, been trying to do what the Lord wants us for a long time. And some days we wake up and we look back and we realize, I haven't really been trusting the Lord as I should. And that's why I'm worried, and that's why I'm anxious, and that's why I'm unproductive in ministry. Because I have been one of those that Jesus was talking about when he said, oh, you of little faith. One of the best ways I have found personally to deal with anxiety over tomorrow is to be sure and attend the ministry today. Be busy about the Lord's work. And that's kind of what he's talking about. And that kind of expresses itself more fully when we see that it's, of course, God's good pleasure for us to seek the good of the kingdom first. God wants us to be about the business to which we are called. And it's important that, though we preach it to our churches all the time, that we remind ourselves of it too, that we need to invest ourselves and our resources in the kingdom and not become content with a ritual of hours in the office or two visits per week or Thursday night math visitation or just something, some schedule, some routine, but that we are truly invested in ministry. It's kind of like savings. I remember one of the first jobs I had that had an actual thing where they would withhold money from your paycheck and put it into a savings account for you. And somebody gave me some very homey but very wise counsel at the time. He said, son, if you'll let them take it out before you get it, you'll never miss it. If you don't, you'll never have it. And I thought, man, that's good. That's wisdom. But you know, the same thing I think is true. When we talk about ministry and we're talking about a time, sometimes as pastors, ministers, we become jealous over our personal time. And it seems like just as sure as we set aside some personal time, somebody just up and dies on purpose. So that we have to give up our personal time, or some other tragedy comes up, or something that they think is a tragedy and we think is not. Just take a pill and get over it. But we're jealous of that personal time. What we have to remember is that we have answered the call of God. He's called us to do a work, and that's part of it. And we have to invest ourselves, our time, our whatever resources, other resources that we may have, our person. We don't want to sacrifice our family on the altar of ministry, but we do need to invest ourselves in that to which God has called us. If we do, we'll never miss that time that we guarded so cautiously. If we don't, we'll probably find that we never have that time or resource that we really want to have anyway. I know that's not logical, but it's spiritual. And we're in a spiritual ministry. It's important that we invest in the eternity of others rather than worrying about our own immediate future. So that's one way I deal with anxiety, is just do ministry today. And finally, we know, as he said explicitly, it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not. Do not fear. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. Do not hedge today based upon what you fear may happen tomorrow. We've been in a recession for a while. Anybody feel that? I don't know if you guys have noticed or not, but around Ferris, it seems that when somebody cries recession or hard times or tough times, that people begin to get a little bit desperate, and people begin to curtail their giving to churches and charitable causes is one of the first things that goes, and because we feel so uncertain about tomorrow. And we hear all the news reports and we hear all the talk, and it makes us anxious over tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And, you know, my 401k is just nosedived, and it may continue to nosedive tomorrow, so I better hedge today. But you know what? All that kind of fear and all that hesitancy and all that holding back is based on the fact that tomorrow is unknown. Now let me tell you something. Give you a little secret here. Tomorrow has always been unknown. Even when times are good, tomorrow is still unknown. We don't know what it holds. James said that our life is but a vapor. It's here today and then it's gone. And we don't have a promise of tomorrow. He said, don't make plans where you say, here's what I'm going to do. Always understand that if it's God's will, this is what I plan to do. And keep that in mind. Say it that way, believe it that way, work it that way, because as far as we are concerned, tomorrow is entirely unknown. Why is it we trust God better for tomorrow when finances are good and family's good and school's good and work's good and we're happy and tomorrow's just okay because we know God's going to handle it. But oh, when today goes wrong and when today gets bad, tomorrow is no more unknown then than it is before, but yet we get anxious. Jesus says, don't. Know that it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I wish I knew what all he's talking about when he says this. And we know that the kingdom of God is prepared for us and we'll enter into that eternal kingdom, real manifestation of the kingdom, however you want to look at it go with that. And of course, I don't believe in dominion theology or kingdom now movement and all this kind of thing, but there is a sense in which the spiritual kingdom of God is present now. And he told the Pharisees and the other critics around there asking about his kingdom. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. In fact, my kingdom is among you now. And it's in us. And I believe, I wish the, and y'all pardon me, I'm not trying to be critical, I don't know who's here from what background. But if the health and wealth people on TV would just get their doctrine right, their enthusiasm is great. You know, because God does have blessings for us here and now, and God wants to bless us here and now. It's not in these material ways, but it's in ways most often that we can't measure in this world, that the world itself can't measure. But we know that God wants us to have, to enjoy, and to one day inherit the kingdom. That's what he has prepared for us. So why worry? So what if tomorrow doesn't go great? It's God's good pleasure that we inherit the kingdom. Knowing all this, we should be, I think, secure in both our present and in our future. Apostle Paul said, as you all well know, that I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I spent a few months in Oklahoma, and I'm pretty well convinced he didn't have the state of Oklahoma in mind. But other than that, whatever condition or set of circumstances I'm in, he said, I can find God's contentment there. And man, did he have some tough circumstances. God intends to provide all that we really need. He is going to magnificently reward us for faithfulness, just like we had done it ourselves. Isn't that the glorious thing about God? Is He provides all the power. He provides all the resources. He provides the mindset, the wherewithal to do things in this world for the kingdom. He does. And then He's going to turn around and reward us just like we were the ones that did it. And all He asks of us is that we make ourselves available. Just do as He asks. Be anxious not for tomorrow. We need God's miracle today in our lives. That peace, that freedom from anxiety, that freedom from worry, that ability to focus on the kingdom, to know, to keep that hope in front of us, that assurance in front of us that His kingdom is prepared for us and we will one day enter it. And that is a bit of a miracle, to be able to stay focused on that and to keep that in mind. When you're out there in the trenches and you're dealing with ornery people and people that haven't got a spiritual clue, and it's tough. But we need that miracle today and in every day to come in ministry. God bless you, and pursue the ministry as God leads you. Shall I lead us in prayer, brother? Or do you want to close? Father, we thank You so much that this time together, Lord, just may it be devoted to You, whatever result might come. And God, we just pray that You would just continue to encourage all of us in ministry. And I want to pray, dear Father, for these seminary students here today, for pastors of churches here today, for the faculty and all the good work that they do in the administration. God, how we thank You so much for what You're doing here in Jacksonville. And Lord, we've seen the result of Your work here, and we praise You for that. And God, I just pray that through all of us, You might find us fitting vessels, not because of who we are or anything we have done, but simply because of submission to You. Lord, help us that every day we might keep that holy focus, trusting You, submitting to You, knowing that You have Your best in mind for us. Some of it now, some of it later. And God, just keep us encouraged and keep us strong. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.